Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
So often we blame others or circumstances beyond our control, but in fact, most of our problems are bad habits and negative attitudes stem back to three unexpressed emotions: sadness, anger, and fear. Acclaimed psychotherapist, author, and workshop leader Jude Bijou tells us these three emotions are just pure energy. If we move this energy out of our bodies, it passes and calmness and clarity are restored naturally, physically, and constructively. And here's how. Deal with sadness like little children do by crying. Sob, wail, shed tears, release your sorrow by letting it out. One warning, crying while you entertain bad thoughts about yourself won't help. You've got to cry constructively. And if you must think, keep it positive. I'm doing the best I can. Like a child, it's okay to sob and bawl, but afterwards return to your happy, curious, and loving self. And anger is our body's natural reaction to injustices and violations. Express anger in a constructive way. Stomp, pound, and yell without harming another or destroying anything of value. Then repeat 1,000 times, "People and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be." And fear is a natural reaction to any threat to our survival or well-being, real or imagined. And to release it, act like a scared dog at the vet. Allow your body to shiver, quiver, shudder, tremble, or quake. What it takes, what it wants to do naturally, so you can restore calm and bring your mind back to the present moment. And then live in that moment and stay specific. And once fear is released, you can move on to positive problem solving and full engagement in life. And to learn more about getting a grip on your emotions, I recommend Jude Bijou's outstanding book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. And to preview and purchase it, go to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or Jude's website, AttitudeReconstruction.com. In fact, go to her website to buy the book, learn something about every imaginable topic, or sign up for her newsletter. Her book is also available at Amazon in paperback or electronic download. And once again, Jude's website is AttitudeReconstruction.com. Do you suffer from a broken heart caused by a recent divorce or romantic breakup? How about love grown cold in a marriage where the flame of passion has gone out? What if someone told you not to look for new love until you've taken a hard look at yourself? You protest, "My breakup or passionless marriage is hard enough. Why in the world would I want to look back and agonize over the hows and whys? Nothing hurts like a broken heart, and no one wants to relive the pain." But here's why: you don't want to go through the pain of breakup all over again. Here's the sad story of our daughter, Kristen. She was a naval pilot. She fell in love and moved in with a fellow pilot in 2003. They seemed great together, but in hindsight, the relationship was doomed for failure. In fact, her boyfriend's mother even told Kristen that her son was looking for a traditional stay-at-home kind of a gal who would raise their kids while he went flying off, and certainly not a fellow pilot who would be off flying on the same hectic schedule he was. A couple of years later, they broke up, then almost without coming up for air, without even informing us, her parents, our daughter rushed into marriage with another man. We finally met her new husband, and he was a peach. Wonderful guy, but not the right one for Kristen. And they knew within weeks the marriage was wrong for both of them, and within months they were headed for divorce. As a result, Kristen suffered through the pain of breakup not once, but twice. And easing the pain by diving into a new relationship most often sets you up for further heartbreak. And there is a better way, And my guests today, Diane and Marion, Mario Cloutier, are here to talk about overcoming barriers that foil true love and to introduce their relovenship process of finding love again. And Diane and Mario Cloutier have been there and done that. They are authors and relationship coaches who found each other after prior failed marriages. And they're not psychologists with fancy degrees, but they've been there and done that, found true love through self-evaluation and intentioning. And Mario is founder and chief executive officer of Exclamation Media and Communication Group. And Diane enjoyed successful career in managerial roles and now focuses full-time on their book and seminars. And they're co-authors together of the brand-new book, Relovenship, Look Within to Find Love Again. And hello, Diane and Mario, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Roy. Thank you very much for having us.
Well, the two of you have invented the word relovenship. What does the word mean? Can you give us a brief description of what that three-phase relovenship process and how it helps you to overcome past hurts and find true love?
Well, absolutely. As you said, we coined the term relovenship. And basically, you know, we love to play with definitions, so we gave it like three variations to say that relovenship, number one, stands for the ability to relove oneself first before finding love again. That's the first variation. The second one is to intention one's way to love again through enhanced self-awareness. And the third, but not least one, is an introspection leading to a no compromises, no settlement mindset for a blissful companionship. And the reason go ahead.
No, I was going to say a common conception of the perfect marriage is a 50-50 partnership with each spouse giving in to the other and meeting in the middle. And how do you reconcile that notion of meeting in the middle with the suggested no compromise, no settlement mindset?
Well, if I can just made a very little clarification about the book. We wrote it most and foremost for single people who are still seeking to find their soulmate in spite of how many heartbreaks they may have experienced in the past. That said, the subtitle for the book is a workbook to help you find the one and much more in your life. So we believe that this book can also help you in other areas of your life, most certainly in your current relationship, and help you assess who you are in a better fashion. So that's what we try to accomplish. So I don't know if that answers your question, Roy.
Yeah, somewhat. I guess, you know, obviously to meet 50-50 in the middle, you have to know where you're coming from, both of you, and it's not really that easy to meet someone in the middle if you don't have a firm ground rule of where you're coming from, so that you tend, I would think, to be basically a victim of circumstance or somebody.
So in order to avoid that, we believe, and that's what we say in the book, there is the first part of the book that is, I guess,
we call it the inside journey.
The inside journey. So, and that's the key. You have to do the first section of the book is self-reflective exercises to really spark introspection and self-discovery. I mean, before we try to find somebody, before we want to venture out and try and find that soulmate, you have to get to know who you are in order to determine what you want. So if jumping from one relationship to another without really assessing who we are and what really went wrong and the whys and hows just sets us up for repeating the same painful patterns.
Yes, it
so
does.
That is crucial. So when we talk about the 50, the no compromise, no settlement mindset, that doesn't mean there's no flexibility and compromise within the couple. What we say is that no compromise, no settlement, is that you have already established what you are looking for and what you value most in a relationship, and you have to not settle for anything less, and that you have to establish from the get-go.
Yeah, that's a very good point. As you point out that for lots of us, fear of rejection hinders us in testing promising relationships. And in your book promotion, you point out an irony that I think so often holds true, that individuals received by fear of being alone are in fact seldom alone. Can you explain this irony and why it so often is true? I think maybe...
We have several examples of that.
Yeah, and the fear, I guess, that's one of the... we all have that fear, and it's one of the, I guess, critical roadblocks that we have, as human beings, and that we have to overcome, because really fear is an illusion, and we need to acknowledge it, and that's a reality, and we need to confront it, because if we're not confronting, and that's going to stop us from moving forward in different areas of our life. So if we bring it back to relationship, one of the fears, there are different fear factors, but one of the fear of being alone, yeah, is merely the lack of confidence or the lack of faith and not feeling worthy. So we don't want to be alone. We keep wanting to be with somebody. We want to jump into the relationship without really examining. And you know, that's the opportunity that we have to really challenge, examine, and evaluate ourselves and previous relationship, and ask ourselves the questions, and not be afraid to face those.
And one way we do that, Roy, if I may jump in, is that we have a system that we call the GBVP system.
Oh.
It stands for gratitudes, beliefs, values, and priorities. And obviously we don't have time to walk the audience through the whole process, but we believe very, very strongly into it. As a matter of fact, we've made free tools available on our website, relevantship.com, for people to go and download if they want to find out more information about the system. But in a nutshell, what it means is that you assess what you're grateful for in your life, what your beliefs are, what your values are, and what your priorities are, so that you can get to that place of self-worthiness that Diane talked about.
Yeah. As you look inside to define your self-worth, you tell us to beware of definitive I am statements we use to describe ourselves, both verbally to others and internally. Can you give us examples of a couple of I ams that can empower us and a couple of I ams that can hold us back? I know there's a number of those that...
Yeah, and that's the part of the exercise that we want everybody to go through, because it's crucial, because there's I ams that are positive I ams.
Yeah.
There are I ams that are more disempowering. So they're okay. It's okay, but as long as we're conscious about them and we put them down on paper, and it's a workbook, and that's what we say Relevantship is a step-by-step methodology. It's a workbook of love. So the step is really to...
The I ams, if I can interact, is the I ams are the things that we hear ourselves saying over and over again, you know, in the course of the day. And in the context of a relationship, you know, they could be statements like, you know, I am too old, I'm too fat, I'm not good looking enough.
I'm failing in relationships all the time. I'm not lucky in love.
Yeah.
You know, those are all the things that could be really harmful. And that's okay, as long as we put them down and we go and dig into the I ams that are positive, because we all have great positive stuff in ourselves. We're all beautiful people inside. We just have to dig it in.
Yeah, that's right. But in your book, you have a chapter titled Self-Worth Multiplies Love-Worth. How do you define the term love-worth, and are there ways to discover our self-worth so that we can enhance our love-worth? How do we do that?
Well, actually, it is what you're referring to. That chapter is the following chapter after the person has done the GBVP exercise. And the love worth is really, you know, what makes us unique. It defines what you are as an individual. So oftentimes we have a tendency to identify ourselves with, you know, what we do for a living, the political party we vote for, or, you know, the stuff like that, where in reality we are much more than that. And the methodology that we explain in that chapter leads you to a place where you can identify truly who you are, and you know, make it clear for not only yourself but the future mate that you will meet.
Yeah. Well, in your second stage of relevantship is the intention to love again with the right partner. What thought processes formulate an intention for finding an ideal life partner, and how do you transform that intention into positive action?
Well, I find the question very interesting, Roy, because actually the book is divided in two parts. As I alluded to, the first part is the inside journey. The second part is venturing out. So once you've done that introspection, you can move out into the second part. The process that we've come up with is called the well-thought process. And there's all kinds of things in there. I don't know if we have enough time to go through it, but it's a five-step process that helps you clarifying what you want, helps you set out your intention, believing, because we're strong believers in believing that you need to be thankful for the stuff that you hope to attract in your life before it actually shows up. And then there's the whole thanking process, and once you've done that, we say that you've set in motion the attracting process.
I see. Well, we mentioned fear before, and to overcome fear of failure, you suggest flying below the radar and easing into a relationship, and that sounds great to me. What do you mean by that exactly?
Yes, and again, the fear of failure, it's something we've all experienced in our lives, and sometimes we are fearful to get into, in this case, in relationships, because we don't want to have that feeling. But again, it's if we really want to have a blissful relationship, we're looking into that fear of failure. If you want to ease in, and that's what we say, it's okay. When we say fly below the radar, is really why not ease in slowly into any new relationship?
There's no point in
rushing in, getting to know the person, and that's what we establish in the second part. We give tips and suggestions how to go about it. But it's okay to befriend a relationship before getting romantically involved. You know, take the time.
Spoke right on to me, because I remember when I was young, I had a couple of relationships where I flipped over a young lady the first or second date, and immediately, made plans in my mind for marriage and all this kind of stuff, and I didn't ease into the relationship and really get to know the person and to introduce myself. I fell too hard, too fast, and both of them ended badly, the relationship, because I didn't ease in.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. And what we also find very interesting, Roy, is that it seems like we live in an era of instant gratification.
Yeah.
You know, people want everything quick.
Yeah.
You know, I find fascinating when you watch a TV show like America's Got Talent, and people have this perception that, you know, the winners of the contest became superstars overnight. Where in reality, if you look at them quickly, every one of them basically have worked on their craft for a long, long time, and they finally got a break and they made it happen. Well, we believe in a relationship, it's the same process. You need to work at it, and you need to allow time, as Diane said, for things to happen. You know, there's no need to rush into anything.
Yeah.
You want it to last. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, in each one of those relationships, I always felt like she was the final chance that I had for true romance, which is so ridiculous.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
Yeah, and we talked from experience again, Roy. We've been into those situations, and we're not just giving those suggestions. We talk from experience because we have been in the trenches. We've been in all those situations where, you know, fear of being alone and the fear of, failure and all that. And so we do understand. We can relate to people, and people can relate to us.
Yeah.
So what we say is the same. Our relationship, we ease into it slowly, and because we got to know who we are first,
and then establish what's
important, and establishing also our personal laws.
So once you've defined and are confident of your self-worth and have a clear intention to love again, how do you go about searching for that right one? Can you give us some strategies for screening relationship candidates? That sounds so scientific, but
doing
due diligence on dating prospects, how do you go about,
What we tried to do, Roy, also in the book, is that we tried to come up with metaphors that maybe people would understand more easily. And what we find very interesting is that people have a way to select relationships without doing the minimum. I mean, you wouldn't go to a job interview if you hadn't done some basic stuff before. And one of the
True.
You know what I'm saying? You'd want to know about the company, about the people you're meeting, and all that stuff. But it seems when it comes to relationships, we don't have that natural instinct to do that. So we come up with a process that we call qualifying the one as an undercover CEO or CHO. So basically what we say in there is that act as a leader. Act as if, you know, you're running a big company, and if you're running a big company, you won't let anybody in, just like that. You know, you'll want to know who they are, and we have four principles that we highlight in that chapter, and the last of which is enforcing your own personal laws. So we encourage people to set forth laws that will help them qualifying their one. I don't know if you want to add something.
Yeah, and those laws are personal to all of us, and what are they? It's things that we don't want to compromise or settle.
Yeah.
So those are
we need to know that
laws.
For sure. Before we enter into any kind of relationship where we're going to be miserable.
And you want to stick by those rules. That doesn't mean you're not going to be flexible when you meet someone, but there's certain laws or certain rules that you don't want to break that are important to you. So you have to stick by those, even though you start meeting different candidates and you say, oh, wow, she or he is so good looking, you know, and you forget about those personal laws. And you just get yourself,
infatuated.
And that's great because, you know, you want to get infatuated, but you have to stick by what those laws are. And those are...
Infatuation doesn't last for 30, 40, 50 years.
Correct.
That's not
that's
enough,
true.
Obviously.
Yes. And it's like an interview process. You shouldn't be afraid of asking the real questions, the two questions that are important to you in your life if you want to develop a serious relationship.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be afraid of asking those questions. And if we don't like the answers, well, it's good because that's what we're saying. You ease into the relationship.
Yeah.
You haven't gone deeply into the relationship for you to realize that person may not be for you, and then you just move on.
Well, let's close with a question common at middle age. What if your marriage is far from perfect, but it's tolerable? You get along with your spouse and are doing okay raising the kids, but the passion and romance is gone, but you want to stay together for the kids' sake or whatever. And can existing marriages be revived using the relovenship process? Or does that ever, in your experience, work with current spouses where they fall in love all over again by really getting to know themselves better? And of course, a lot of times, I guess when they know themselves, they don't want to be with that person. But
it could work both ways, right?
But you know what? I love that question because I really believe that the book can be helpful. Like you said at the very beginning, Roy, we don't pretend to be psychiatrists. We talk from experiences.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of anecdotes and experience that we share in the book that we think could be helpful to people in a current relationship.
Yeah.
What we found interesting, we had three objectives when we wrote the book. We wanted to talk from experience, as I said. That was number one. But we wanted a step-by-step methodology also that people could follow. So it's not only a book filled with general statements and fuzzy concepts. There's an actual methodology that people can follow, even if they're in a current relationship.
Yeah.
And last but foremost, we provide also a masculine and feminine perspective. So, you know, men and women don't think about relationships the same way. It's just reality. And we provide that perspective in the book.
Yeah, and just to add to what Mary was saying, we have people coming to us who are already in a relationship and said, you know what? That book I know is really for attracting, the main part is attracting your soulmate, you know, if you have heartbreak. But they've come to us and said, you know what, that has helped me in my current relationship and really assessing who I am and really what I value in a relationship. And you're discovering things. And sometimes you want to discover, maybe there's positive stuff that you're discovering, and sometimes you're discovering things that, you know, you've never looked at. So, yes, it could help you in your relationship, and, yes, it could also make you open your eyes in the relationship.
Well, I know your book, Relovenship, Look Within to Love Again, is not a quick read, so I guess you describe it as like a written seminar or a workbook.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, because we wanted to provide as many tools as possible to people, and we're actually taking that material on the road, starting starting in January.
Oh.
So if people want to log on to relevantship.com to get more details, if they would like to dig deeper into the material and come and meet us for the workshops, it's coming up in the upcoming months.
Okay, that's relevantship.com, R-E-L-O-V-E-N-S-H-I-P, right?
Absolutely. There's also on the site, I believe soon we're going to post book signing events that we're starting in Florida and elsewhere in the country. Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they could go to that website to find all about that and your webinars and other things that you have for advice. Well, in conclusion, around 50% of North American marriages end up in divorce, and close to 12 million men and women are single parents. So also 100 million people over 21 and over are singles, and over 41 million have tried online dating. So no one should simply give up trying again if you've lost once or more times in the past. And if you're a veteran of a failed relationship or are afraid to venture forward to a new one or to try again, I highly recommend you preview and purchase Relovin' by Mario and Diane Clothier. And thank you so much, Mario and Diane, for joining us here today.
Thank you very much, Roy.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Well, here's a question for you. Do you feel like you're in control of your life today, or do relationships and circumstances control you? Back on my May 18th program, I interviewed the lovely and inspired author, poet, and life advisor, Rome, known affectionately as Princess Rome. Go back and listen if you want. All our past programs are posted on our website. And I'm certain she inspired you ladies, heck, us men too, regardless of age and present circumstance, to first reconnect with the fullness of the wonderful you, who you are, why you're great, what you want and need, and only then seek out love, passion, and mutual respect in partnership with a person worthy of you. And I've invited Rome back today to talk about her forthcoming book, due for release this December, titled Freedom, The Journey Home. It's Rome's own true life story of moving from self-doubt and relationship turmoil to the confident, passion, and a passionate and sharing relationship she's in today. And she's here to preview a few details. And let's see how Rome's lifestyle can inspire you and me. And hello, Princess Rome. Welcome back to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you, Roy. I'm very excited to be back. And that title, are you serious? My husband called me Princess.
I know you used to, you often see Princess Rome on your website material and stuff, so I'm sure we can all call you that. But let's start at the beginning. What were the circumstances when your journey began? I guess you tell all that in the book, but give us a little rundown of that.
Yeah, freedom, the journey home, really says it all, because it's my journey through life. And after all of us have that responsibility of living our lives and have that journey that we have to take in setting realistic goals and really realizing our dreams.
But so few of us actually take that journey. We just sort of punt and let somebody else determine it, or circumstances determine it for us, especially when we reach middle age and are, in a family.
That's exactly it. That the fact that we sometimes don't take that realistic view to what life can really be like. Yeah. And on the cover of the book, I have three sacred secrets: love, peace, charity. And for me, getting from where I've been in bad circumstances and really having a realistic thought of where I was at the time, and I was determined not to stay in that dark gloom, because I realized that I had a life to live. And it is our sober responsibility to take that seriously, because nobody's going to do that for you.
No, so, that's for sure.
Yeah, love, for example, it gives you the aspects of, we're all capable of love, but how do you give love? How do you show love? How do you express love? how do you become a good lover? And how do you live with love? These are the things that I've really, really came to grips with. How important it is to understand the reality of that. And if you think of peace, we really should not allow anyone to take that peace from us. Because if we peaceable towards others, we ourselves, we gain calm. And if we think of charity, charitable people, they have such a light. Because when you're a giver, you gain respect. You become treasured in memory. And you really have this aura about yourself that you're beginning to live because you started giving to yourself as a priority, that you took yourself in, this is my life.
Yes, it's so important that you give to yourself before you give to others, because if you don't really feel good about yourself, you really don't have that much you can give to others, I don't think.
Exactly. So it's a really quiet time that we have to take in priority, because in silence, you hear the truth and you know the solution, because you reflect, you get clarity, you get calm to visualize your next step, and you start being honest with yourself. So we sometimes are our own worst enemy, and that's what I've learned about myself, because I was angry. I was really angry about so many things. But since I realized that it was my life under my control, that I gained this peace of mind, and that responsibility became more visualized to me, that I need to have a better environment around me so I can have the balance.
You were a successful executive in South Africa. I know you were CEO of a chain of health and beauty salons, and so people would have said that here's a very successful woman who has it all. It's amazing. What one event or series of events jarred you out of your current situation and convinced you that you needed a radical change? Was there one thing or a bunch of things that?
It was a bunch of things, because it was mainly a bad relationship. And, you know, sometimes we expect one thing in life, and it doesn't always work out the way we plan, because we can dream up every single thing we possibly can think about and think, this is how life is supposed to be. But circumstances in life do happen. And all of us can fall in that hole. And none of us is immune to circumstances in life. Things happen. In my situation, I ended up being married to the wrong person.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we're so naive and young and we don't think of the right things we need, that's the biggest mistake we make, because we have this wish list. We have this empty dream that we think this is our life is supposed to be. But it's not realistic. And I took the responsibility of asking for help, of looking for help.
Yeah. Well, when did your then husband first learn of your personal spiritual journey and that your dreams going forward did not involve him? I mean, how did you break the news, and how was that accepted?
Because, Roy, if someone is not present in your life, they're not really there, are they?
No.
So they don't really notice the things you're going through, because they don't care.
That's very true.
If people are in your life for the wrong reasons, they're serving themselves. They're not interested in the unhappiness you're going through. And most of them don't even see the unhappiness you're going through. And for me, that became a raw deal. What am I doing here? And how do we live life being stuck with someone? Life is not about being stuck with someone.
No,
it's about living your life with someone.
I hate to think of any marriage where you feel like you're stuck with your partner, because that's not good for the other
person.
It's
not right. It's not right for your mental capacity. It's not right for your health. It's really not really not a good situation to be in, because you go to a dark, empty place, and I decided that it was enough. I was a better person. I deserved better, and I deserved more. And I took that responsibility that I looked for help, and I motivated myself to ask for help. And if you really think about it, successful people always leave clues. The reality is, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to learn, so you take that step in deciding what kind of life do you want? What kind of life do you want to live? Are you giving someone else control to lead your life like a puppet on a string?
When you,
or are you taking control?
When you say you asked for help, and because I think that's something so many of us fail to do, where did you go for help? Who did you ask? And
we have friends. We have friends. We have relatives.
Yeah.
We have people that we look up to. It is such a good thing to have somebody as a partner in your life that you can talk to. Because if you know how wrong it is that you cannot talk about your life, your problems, your aspirations to your partner in life. Do you know how wrong that is?
Yeah.
So it's good for us to have a confidant. Today, I can say that my husband is my best friend. My husband is my confidant.
Yeah,
my husband is my partner. But most of all, my husband is my lover.
Yeah.
Because everything set aside, we come together with everything that we want to do in life, in communicating about things. Where family is concerned, where business is concerned, where day-to-day life is concerned. But if we don't have that strong relationship, that bond us, that's where the importance of being a lover to your partner is such a serious thing. Not so long ago, I read something, and I know most of us, if we think about sex, we think, oh, that's procreation, or that's something dirty, or that's something that we can't give thought about, because what's anybody else going to think if we mention that word S-E-X? But seriously, if you really take yourself to that place of cleansing mind, cleansing body, and you get in touch with yourself, you become so much more open and giving that you want to share yourself with someone else. And you become so much more easier to give yourself to someone else. And I have one of the biggest questions where even my friends around me ask, how does the two of you get along so well? We have a big age gap, my husband and I. He's much younger than I am. And forget it, I'm not telling you how old I am. But he's much younger than I am. And we talk about simple things every day. His mom even asked, what on earth are the two of you talking about every day?
Yeah.
Because he would send me text messages. He would send me something he's doing, even if it's stupid. He would send me something that had happened. And he had my pictures posted all over his screen.
Good for him.
So he sings about me momentarily.
Yeah.
He sings about me when he feels. Hard day, tough day, you know. He sings about things that motivate him, that interest him. Like we're planning our holiday to go to Dubai in December. But we think about silly things that we're looking forward to, things that we kind of excite each other with. And that's a day-to-day thing that is so important. Because when you're together, you relax because you have that friendship. You have that bond. You can be stupid with each other, but you can also be serious with each other.
Well, how did you find that one in a million guy? Once you discovered the true essence of you, did you actually seek out a new life partner, or was it, you know, something that you just fell into? Or how did, I'm sure a million single or a divorced people would love to know how you found that new partner.
Roy, I'm sad. You know, I'm a writer, so I'm an introvert. I can write about things, and I express things, and I feel things. And, you know, we excite the world because we're creative people.
Yeah.
You know, but I am an excitable character, and I think sometimes I'm a little bit too straightforward and too honest for my good will, but I never really went out hunting, because I'm not a hunter. I'm way refined. I'm very refined, and I'm very reserved.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's mixing with the right environment, the right company.
Yeah.
Seeking the right company. And women sometimes don't realize how many things you can do to meet the right kind or quality men that you seek. You know, you can go on a boat trip. You can go on a traveling excursion.
Yeah.
You can go on a trip with a girlfriend and really be unaware of life around you and just meet people. I know so many people from around the world, and you know, through one girlfriend, you meet her men friends, and through other friends, you meet their men friends. That's how small the world is.
I love the way you put it. Instead of going out desperately searching for a mate like some people in middle age,
we don't have to demean ourselves to desperation. Because most women I speak to, they seek love. You know, even rich men, rich women seek love. But it's going the right way about things. It's just finding what's right for you. Because for me, it was being a complete person first. Because I wanted to be able to stand out. So a man sees the quality of woman I am. And we don't need a university degree today because heaven alone knows it's very difficult to find a job out there.
Yeah.
So you need skills. Women, you need skills.
Yeah.
Skills is what takes you everywhere. And I live in a country where I had to learn the language. But Roy, I had a catering business in Finland within the first few years that I was here.
Wow.
So it's skills. You're learning things that you can use in life to attribute to something that you can accomplish or something that you can use.
When will your book, Freedom, the Journey Home, be available, and where can we go to preview and purchase it, or now to keep up with when it's going to come out? Where should we go to find that out?
Well, Freedom will be released in December, so I will give more news. I will give my blog, which is WordPress, Princessa Romea at WordPress.com. I always have news on what's going on in the book. And my website is romebooks.com. So there's always updates of what's happening with the book coming out.
I know you just had an update on the book in WordPress, I think, on last Thursday. The 20th, I saw an update on that where you talked about...
Yeah, there's today also a new update on princessromea.wordpress.com. There's today a new update as well. And I keep bringing news and things and events about the book because there's so much more to learn about love and charity and peace. There's so much more in the book. And I'm not a shy girl, so I'm very strict about information and how to go about things. So the book is an amazing, interesting life awakening because it was a rude awakening for me to get real, to get absolutely real. And
you
know,
sometimes we have to suffer a little and look at ourselves in the mirror and get real with ourselves before we can, you know, we have to evaluate why we're in the situation we're in now. And then we say, look, I'm in control of my own life. I'm not giving that control over to everyone else, and I have a lot to offer, and I'm a wonderful person, and nobody else is going to tell me otherwise. Obviously, you've been able to accomplish
that. That was my reality. And Roy, if I can do it, every single woman out there can do it.
Yeah.
I have become a complete person. So that's what I wish for everyone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, Roy, I would like to offer ladies on my website, you can repeat it again, there's a personal contact. They can send me notices. They can ask me personal questions. They can send me anything they want to brief me about or personally ask me about, because there's nothing, nothing embarrassing about improving your life or learning how to do something a bit better.
And that, they should go to romaybooks.com. Is that the best place to go for that? Or,
yes, because I have a contact on that, so they can contact me directly there if they have personal questions and things they want to ask about the book. And the book also have a book to screen development later, so there is a lot of reasons to read that book. It's my true life story. Everything
I've gone
through in life.
And we can go see you in the movies there at some point in time.
I look forward.
Well, thank you once again, Romy. You've been very inspirational to especially the ladies out there, but to all of us, really, that there's no time like the present to really take a look inside and say, you know, if I'm not satisfied with where I am now, where do I want to be, and why do I deserve to be there? And once you discover that, then you'll know what you are looking for and what you need in a life partner. And who knows, maybe your present life partner, who your marriage, maybe the passion's gone out of it, but maybe it can come back once you're really convinced of who you are. And maybe your husband or wife is not maybe tuned in right now to who you really are and what you want to be, but it's time you let them know. And thank you so much, Romy, joining us today, and best of success with that book, and be sure to check it out in December when it comes out. That's once again, the name is Freedom, the Journey Home by Romy.
Thank you, Doris.
Thank you so much, Romy, and have a great day.
Bye.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.